Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
I keep hearing that many people believe that the best investments are sold by large investment houses. But how many people do you know who got rich in the stock market? I thought so. Jason Hartman has helped thousands of people create real wealth with real estate. He has over 20 years experience, and his company provides the complete solution for real estate investors. Isn't it time you acquired property in diverse, growing markets nationwide for as little as $15,000 down? Don't let inflation destroy the value of your savings, stocks, or bonds. Real estate is the one investment that allows you to profit from inflation. For cash flow and capital appreciation, there's nothing else like it. Make your money work as hard as you do by building an income property empire. Go to www.jasonhartman.com and tell them Kerry sent you. You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. So, you know, financial survival is totally changing around us. Used to be you wanted to get a job, you picked up a copy of the Sunday New York Times, you circled a bunch of ads, you answered them, and by the end of the week you had a job, but it's not like that anymore. Now you need different tools and different strategies to figure it out, which is why we've got Michelle A. Ricklin on. She's a resume writer, career coach. She knows how to get it done. Michelle, welcome to the Financial Survival Network.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So how do you get a job in this crazy world now? It's not your father's job market or your mother's job market anymore, is it?
It's not. It's not even my job market anymore.
Well, I'm just assuming you're younger than me.
Well, I still come from that school of when I was first looking for a job, straight out of school, I would go to a recruiter or I would scour through the New York Times, and those were really the two main ways that we went about looking for a position, going through the paper, you know, whatever that main paper might have been. In my, you know, New York metropolitan area was the New York Times. That's where most of the jobs were posted. And you went through and you circled and you called and you sent out your resume. Or, you know, there were an abundance of employment agencies, and you just went in. And even if you weren't even sure exactly what it is that you were looking to do, they would just send you out on interviews, entry-level positions, assistant positions, and you'd kind of land and then, kind of carve your way into a career that way. So it's just not done that way anymore, for many reasons. And one of the biggest reasons is finance, because companies just do not have strong recruitment budgets. They don't have money to go out and spend on expensive advertisements or to spend 15-20% at an agency. Not to say that there aren't still industries that do use headhunters and executive search or contingency search firms, but it's just not the same. It's not the way that it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, where employment agencies as a whole really had every position from the entry-level position up to the senior position.
Yeah, so things have changed a lot. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed is a website like Craigslist has supplanted the New York Times. I remember at a company, we used to advertise in the Times. We'd spend $350, and they'd always try to jack you up on the special. Now I spend $25 on Craigslist. It stays up there. People, almost from the instant it gets posted, people are emailing their resumes to me, and I'm getting applicants much higher quality than I used to get off the Times, and I don't have to go on the telephone with them. So obviously, where you look for a job and the skills that you need to get the job are totally different than they were 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, so Craigslist is definitely one venue that employers are using in order to put talent out. It's not expensive. The downside is that the person who is internal really has to be able to screen the resumes and, that pre-screening process that would have been done by employment agencies years ago isn't there. So you have to have, decent internal talent, or at least talent that has patience to go through what could be a very high response from something like a Craigslist. But one of the biggest places that employers is using, actually the number one place that employers use today to find their talent, is LinkedIn. And LinkedIn has really become the go-to place for employers. I do actually some workshops on how to use LinkedIn effectively for both finding talent and for looking for jobs. And LinkedIn is the number one tool that employers use. And here's why. The first thing that happens when a resume comes across somebody's desk is they look them up, and they want to know that this person has connections. They want to get a sense of, does the paper match, let's say, the online presence, and is there some consistency between those two tools? So they look people up on they either Google them or they look them up on LinkedIn. And if they're not on LinkedIn, it's as if they don't exist. So there's a question already if that person's profile isn't up as to, well, are they, out of date? Really depending on what the position is. Different industries use LinkedIn for different purposes. The second thing is that when somebody's actually looking to find talent, a company, that's their number one go-to place. Even before they actually get a resume in hand, they'll go online, they'll go to LinkedIn, they'll type in the right keywords that go along with the job description, and they'll see who comes up that might fit that bill. It's a complete database of over 200 million professionals. So my workshop and teleseminars and webinars that I do on LinkedIn usually start with, if you're not on LinkedIn, you don't exist.
That's remarkable. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm on LinkedIn, not looking for a job. I'm not looking to hire anybody right now. But I see the one common thing about LinkedIn is that everybody's resume is on there right in front of you. And when you want to find out whether or not someone is suitable for you, it's real easy to figure that out. It's just there. And I guess there's strategies for getting noticed on LinkedIn and coming to the attention of the right decision makers, the people that decide whether or not to hire you, right?
Absolutely. So there are multiple strategies for making sure that you're really up there when people are searching for somebody like you, including making sure that you have the right keywords, making sure that your profile is 100% complete. LinkedIn isn't a it doesn't replace the resume, and it's not supposed to be. Although some people do it, it's really not supposed to be a cut and paste of the resume. It's supposed to be an additional marketing tool, either for job search or for professional development, professional outreach, branding yourself, establishing yourself as an expert in your field. So when somebody is trying to get their profile noticed, that because they are in job search mode, there are definitely some tricks. The picture, believe it or not, is extremely important. Even though on a resume, that is still not an acceptable practice on in the United States. But on LinkedIn, if you don't have a picture, you're probably not going to get viewed, because LinkedIn profiles with pictures are viewed 80% more than profiles that are not. So people tend to just skip over profiles that don't have a picture, and that picture has to be a professional picture, a headshot, something that's inviting, something that's engaging, and where you're really looking like you're a professional that's serious about what it is that you're doing.
Interesting. So a picture does tell more than 1,000 words, when it comes to looking for a position on LinkedIn, even though when you send out a paper resume, it's not appropriate to send out a picture. Although, you know, Michelle, for business cards, 20, 30 years ago, you never saw a person's picture on a business card. Now it's unusual not to see somebody's picture on their business card.
Right, right. So depending on, you know, and it depends, again, on the industry and what it is that you do. I personally don't have my picture on my business card, but I have links to, let's say, my LinkedIn profile. So if somebody really wants to know what I look like, they can, you know, they're welcome to come to my website, or they're welcome to come to my LinkedIn profile. So I do direct people there. And we do that on resumes now, too. We'll put the, we know that they're going to look you up on LinkedIn once they get the resume. So we just make it easy, and we put the LinkedIn URL right there on the resume in the contact information.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this modern day rendition of the resume, what it's about, and how to maximize it. So we'll talk about that up next. Just a brief pause and a message here. Hi, this is Kerry Lutz of the Financial Survival Network. These are trying times. The most important issue you face today is how to stay free in a world that's becoming less free by the day. Join myself, Mickey Fulp, Robert Ian, David Morgan, and 12 others at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium in Dallas on June 28th, 29th, and learn how to create your personal roadmap to staying free. Don't miss it. Join us and register now at libertymastermind.us. Sign in at libertymastermind.us. And we are back with Michelle Ricklin, and we're talking about how you actually find a job in today's real world, which is so much different from the way it was back when I got out of college, although I was fortunate, didn't need to look for a job, but I'm sure it wasn't the same for you. If you ever had to find a job back in the 70s and 80s, man, today bears no resemblance to it. Michelle, like, what job areas are the easiest to find jobs in today for the vast majority of people looking for jobs, especially if you've gotten out of college in the past 3 to 5 years?
You know, that's a tough question, because I can't really say that there are, you know, some areas that are easier than others. Engineering seems to be a pretty hot field. I can say that coming out of college with an engineering degree will probably take you somewhere today. I think that it's a lot of it is hit and miss. It's a matter of who you know, who can get you in a door, and then kind of carving out for yourself where you belong. So it's not as it's not as specific, where, you know, there are definitely people coming out, you know, with some of the more traditional liberal arts degrees, and again, that's always been the case, that you're really not sure where that's going to take you. So where people such as myself that may have come out in the beginning with a degree in an English degree or something along those lines, and not really sure what they might have wanted to do, or a psychology degree but weren't going into practice, well, what were those people doing? Well, they started dabbling and going on different types of interviews for, it could have been human resources, it could have been public relations, it could have been, an advertising firm, and they just kind of went and they started out as assistants and worked their way up. So I think that mentality that I remember way back when, of, you know, like, let me just get in someplace and start and do something and see what I like. I think coming in with that kind of an attitude is really useful today as well, because people that are coming out and saying, you know, listen, I have a finance degree and I want to work for, you know, a major financial company, and they stick to that, that might not be as easy. But if you're open to going into different industries that still might be able to utilize the talents that you've acquired and the experience that you've gotten throughout college, then the more open you are to exploring different industries and potential avenues that you might not have thought about, I think that's really key, you know, to having an open mind, that there are multiple possibilities.
Yeah, there's always new industries emerging, too. A lot of the industries that exist today, for instance, my daughter works for an online ad agency. She figures out whether or not the ads are working or not. A thing called attribution didn't exist, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Forget it. So, yeah, a lot of these businesses are new businesses that are just a product of the new technologies that are emerging. And I guess that trend is going to continue.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So somebody getting out of college today, obviously they've got challenges because, you know, half the college grads are unemployed and a further percentage are working at minimum wage jobs. What would you tell them to do?
Well, you know, there are a few things. I think that the first thing that they need to think about is that there is so much hype and so much in the media about the doom and gloom of there not being jobs. And I think that's really hurting our recent college graduates, that they're really buying into that. And while it is a difficult market, that doesn't mean that there aren't jobs. It just means that the people that are being strategic about their job search are the ones who are procuring them. So the first thing that I tell them is that, you know, they really need to have a plan. They need to target companies that they have an interest in working for and making themselves a list of those companies. They need to make sure that they have the right materials. So that means a strong resume that is a marketing tool, and to really have an understanding of what that means. So years ago, and even still, a lot of the career services centers will show the students that a template and kind of walk them through putting together a resume. Usually they start them with an objective, and then it's kind of a chronological format of, you know, different things that they may have done. And it's not done that way. Resumes are a completely different tool today. They are a marketing tool, and it's really important for students and professionals that have been in, you know, in their fields for a long time to understand that they're a product and they need to sell themselves. And when they create a resume, I never put an objective on a resume, because an objective is applicant-centric, and it says, I want this. And quite frankly, an employer doesn't really care that this person coming out of school wants to work for a progressive company that has room for advancement and where they can learn and grow. They don't care. They want to know, what is it about you that's unique, and what's the value that you have to offer? What am I going to get as an employer if I hire you? And when students can position themselves as a product that company needs, or a product that company, you know, should check out, they have a much better chance of you know, being seen and getting noticed from those materials. Really important also to have that LinkedIn profile and start doing some heavy-duty networking. Networking is going to be the key to finding a new position, particularly for the person who's just coming out. Anybody and everybody that you know, letting them know that you're looking and asking people if you can talk to them. Can you take them out for a cup of coffee and, you know, pick their brain about, you know, what's out there, and could I potentially fit into your organization? So networking is extremely important.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the fact that you point out the objective. I could never see the point of putting that in a resume, because if you're sending it to a specific company, then your objective is kind of understood. And it's really like, look, don't ask the company what they can do for you. That's like walking in there for an interview and saying, how much vacation do you give? What about profit sharing? How about insurance? And what about fringe benefits? And it's like, no, you walk into a company for an interview, it's not what they can do for you, it's what you can do for them. What kind of value do you provide to the company to help make them more profitable, help them put out a better product or service? because that's why they're going to hire you, not because of what they can do for you. And, you know, that's something that I think many young people don't really quite get when they go into the job market. And I think they suffer accordingly. And that point of networking, perhaps they don't teach that enough in school. And one other thing that colleges are doing more today, and I know one of my daughters went to Northeastern and they did these co-ops, and she spent 2 6-month periods doing co-ops in PR. She knew she wanted to do PR, and instantly, this was 4 years ago, the economy was already bad, instantly got a job in less than a month doing PR, and doing quite well now. But if you're looking at going to college and you can find a college that does these co-ops, they're really invaluable for helping you later on and help in the networking process too.
Absolutely. And if you're in a program or you're at a university where they don't have a co-op program like that, then it's very important to really utilize your summers wisely. Well, of course, everybody loves to be able to, you know, take time off and go to the beach. It's really important to make sure that you are filling in your toolbox and gaining valuable experience that you can put on your resume, because when you come out of school, you want to be able to show that you've accomplished something and that you've worked for a company where you were actually able to contribute and have some kind of an impact.
Yeah, and hey, I just wanted to inquire, selfgrowth.com, your co-founder of that, how does that work?
Self-growth is a internet portal for everything that is self-improvement. So it is actually a company that I co-founded with my husband, and that is, it's really... He is the person that runs that. I am. We kind of have a crossover with some information, you know, for that where career falls underneath self improvement, but it's a separate company. But it is a wealth of information. Anything that has to do with self improvement, and we get about 2 million unique visitors a month.
That's great.
So, if you type in self-improvement or self-growth, we are the ones that come up under any search engine.
It's a great name, and it looks like it's a great site. And I really want to thank you for coming on the Financial Survival Network, because there's so much you could do. You can't just throw up your hands in defeat and say, oh, the market's awful, I can't get a job. And it all comes down to strategy and really just doing the most that you can do. You can't just give up. So, Michelle, people want to find you, want to contact you, connect with you. Where do they find you on the internet here?
Sure. I am at Ricklan Resources. That's Riklan Resources.com. And that's my website. Or you can, you know, type in Michelle Ricklan, Riklan, and you'll find my LinkedIn profile and connect with me that way as well. Feel free to connect. Ask to connect.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Michelle. And it's financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Go there, sign up for our free newsletter and 3 special reports. And we wish you the best of the luck. And thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network.